hundreds of Muslim survivors of the earthquake and tsunami that devastated Indonesia gathered outside crumbled mosques and on the beach where the tsunami hit for Friday prayers today. The disaster a week ago today killed more than 1,500 people. That number's going to rise. You've probably been listening to NPR international correspondent Julie McCarthy, who's made it to the city of Palu on the island of Sulawesi, one of the hardest hit areas. Julie, what are you seeing?
It's extremely dark here, but there are a few street lamps on. Most of the houses appear to be deserted. Very few lights are on. Gas stations are indeed open. There are lines, but earlier, that kind of harried, jammed crush, that's just not there. I also saw earth movers for the first time at the Ramayana shopping mall. You might remember that was this huge shopping mall that was destroyed in the disaster. But I have to say, Robin, there is no mass government mobilization 1 week later. That is absent. This is a do-it-yourself affair full of good Samaritans.
Yeah. And in the areas that have been devastated, I mean, the pictures just, you know, we almost get numb to these pictures of toppled homes and buckled roads and smashed cars and body bags. But, you know, how do you take that in?
You know, you take it in with personal stories of people. You take it in with the man who sits and describes to you, and he's had with a far-off look in his eye, this complete conflict that he has inside his self, that he survived, but at what cost? He kept saying things like, you may think we were selfish when we just ran, because their loved ones were left behind. In his case, he left a father behind. He said he was praying in his house. He said, we had seconds to get out, and they were luckily on the street. He looked up, turned, saw a wall of water coming at him, and just ran. It's, you know, in some ways, it's so serendipitous and miraculous that people survive these sorts of events, because this tsunami is coming at them like a locomotive, and it's just building steam, and it's building height. And so I think it's the personal stories of people whose lives are completely shattered. You know, there are thousands, tens of thousands of people whose livelihood has been destroyed. The economics of this city, Robin, are simply not an up-and-going concern right now.
Yeah.
And the vice president said it's going to take 2 years for that to happen. I think by the look of it, it will take much longer. But, you know, this question about what does it look like, there are, you would be forgiven if you drove through and thought some areas and said, well, there what could possibly have gone wrong here, and other areas that are completely unrecognizable. For example, a church moved an entire over a mile. It was moved by the churning earth below it. In one area, Pitubo, a vast expanse set on swampland, it must be said, was part of this churning of the earth. Someone called it, said the ground was like a blender. The earthquake was like a blender, just gobbling up houses in its wake. They don't know how many people are lying beneath that mountain of mud, is what I saw. And so that will take a long time to unearth, and they don't have the equipment here to do it yet. And that is part of the mystery of this place. I mean, it's really not known how many people perished.
Yeah. We know French rescuers were very frustrated. They thought that with their equipment they heard signs of life under a 4-star hotel that collapsed. Now they're thinking that that might have been a gas leak or something, that there is no life there. But you mentioned the lack of coordinated government response. So, yeah, long-term recovery. But what about, you know, tomorrow? Do people have food? Do they have water?
They don't have food, they don't have water, they're scrounging for it, and they're begging and borrowing it. There are people coming in from the outside, driving for hours to deliver aid. That said, what you had sort of amassing among the big aid effort, the ramped up aid effort, the Japanese, the New Zealanders, and the Indians have on the ground here, evidently, hundreds of tons of supplies. They're just not getting here. You don't see evidence of it. There is no running water. Electricity is extremely spotty. Gasoline, again, extremely spotty. And people who get it are leaving.
NPR international correspondent Julie McCarthy in Palu, Indonesia, the area devastated by earthquakes, tsunami. There was also a volcano. Julie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.